you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
Welcome to Air Talks TV Talk from LAist 89.3. I'm Larry Mantle. Every Thursday, I'm joined on Air Talk by professional TV critics to review and discuss the newest cable TV, broadcast, and streaming series. With so much content available, we know it's hard to pick something to watch, and we're here to help. All right, let's meet this week's critics.
Austin Cross with you on this Thursday, and also back again tomorrow, per usual. You know, every Thursday here on Air Talk, we are joined by TV's finest, and by that I mean exceptional television critics who walk us through what's new on TV and what's worth watching. So joining me today, Catherine Van Arendonk, television critic at Vulture. Welcome to you.
Hello.
And also with us, Marcus Jones, awards editor for television and film at IndieWire. Marcus, welcome to you as well.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's kick off with you, Marcus, with The Gentlemen on Netflix, which I actually saw a trailer for, and I thought, oh, this could be something that I could get into. And this is about a man who unexpectedly inherits his father's sizable country estate. But wait, there is more. Talk to us about The Gentlemen.
Yeah, so this is a new version of a film that Guy Ritchie did right as the pandemic was sort of happening. So I think it came around 2020. This one, you don't have to have watched the film to see it. In fact, I think it's great that for a filmmaker to be like, hey, maybe this didn't work as well as a film. Let's try TV. And I have had a lot of fun watching this show. It stars three actors that I'm really excited to see kind of get this big push. Theo James was most recently in The White Lotus. Kaya Scodelario is best known for Skins and the Maze Runner franchise. And then Daniel Ings, he's been in The Crown and a bunch of British shows, but I fell in love with him on this show, Lovesick, that is also on Netflix. But the three of them are these kind of British aristocrats. They just inherited this estate that has kind of a whole drug ring under it because the sheep shearing's not selling much, but it kind of leads into the criminal underworld in really fun ways that you can kind of already see from the beginning. And it's actually, despite delivering the action and the crime drama, it is really funny at times and definitely intense as well.
That is The Gentlemen on Netflix. All eight episodes premiere today and are available now. I'm actually looking forward to that one. Let's check in on Elsbeth on CBS and Paramount Plus. Catherine Van Arendonk, what do you think?
I was not expecting to enjoy Elsbeth. It is a spinoff of a spinoff, which is often a bad sign because Ooh. When franchises extend themselves that long, they tend to run on vibes rather than good storytelling logic.
Running on vibes.
But in this case, I was really pleasantly surprised. Elsbeth Tassioni is a minor character in the Robert and Michelle King Good Wife, Good Fight universe. She has played this wacky lawyer investigator type. And my other concern about the show is that she is one of those very intense, strange, quirky personalities. And she's good in small doses. And I was really concerned about what it was going to be like with her as a protagonist, spending that much time with a character who is so just sort of walks into a room and like trips over herself immediately. In the show where she is the main character, though, she plays a lawyer who is working on a consent decree with the New York Police Department and so inevitably stumbles into this detective role. And I was so surprised by how charming I found her, as well as how much fun the show has taking a lot of digs at like New York-y culture in a way that it feels like the Kings have been really champing at the bit to be able to do because their previous two shows were in Chicago. And she gets a kind of quirky, you know, Sherlock Holmes kind of position. She plays with against Wendell Pierce, who is the possible villain. We're not sure of the show, which is also a great role for him. And they have so much fun making fun of like Real Housewife type things and New York theater. And I love a good procedural. And I think this is pretty good.
Well, episode 2 of Elsbeth airs tonight on CBS at 7 o'clock our time. It's about an hour right after the State of the Union, I should say, but new episodes every Thursday. Let's talk about The Traitors, because I watched season one, and I can just say, as far as a season one goes of a show, like, just chef's kiss, like, the ending, everything, did not expect, and also loved the backstabbery of that. Marcus, what did you make of The Traitors?
So I absolutely agree, and I think that given the ending that we don't quite want to spoil for season one, because people should absolutely check it out, it kind of leaned for season two into casting all people that a lot of people are familiar with. So primarily reality stars, athletes, and by reality stars, both your Real Housewives and people who have competed on The Challenge or Big Brother, Survivor, etc. And I think it's really worked because it's a game similar to Mafia. And what I always find fascinating is that these people who are used to something like The Challenge go in super confident that they can be the ones as a traitor to lie and complete all the challenges to win money, or as a faithful to like spot who's the competitor being sneaky. But I think what I love is the Bravo stars being familiar with making a reality show and sort of turning their lives into reality are a little more savvy about like who would the producers want to be the traitor. And so it's really fun watching all these stars combine and kind of see who's the smarter of the bunch around this particular game.
So it gets a little meta. I mean, I recall in season one, it was either the traitors were either people who were like, yeah, I like being a traitor. Like, it's like a part of their personality that they wanted to be that person. And I'll also say there were traitors who just played it very cool. And I'll also say, to your point, went under the radar of so many people. Catherine, what did you make of Traitors season two?
I am a fan of Traitors. I think it is a really fun way for all of these different reality show worlds to collide. Although I know that the other international versions, the UK version, the Australian version, is more like the first season of The Traitors, where it is a combination of reality and sort of normies, or even in all normies. And so although the US version does have this really fun meta element, I think there is also an appeal to watching people who are coming into a reality TV show experience without all of the baggage of their former personas, which is absolutely also playing into this Traitors season. I'm not saying one is better than the other, but they are different flavors of show. And so if the mechanics of the gameplay are exciting to you, it's worth checking out the international versions as well.
Oh, that is so fascinating. The show is The Traitors season two on Peacock. I mean, it's my wife and I's guilty pleasure just to sit down and take that show in. It's so fun. The first three episodes premiered January 12th. All episodes are now available. That's my favorite time to watch after they're all available, because I'm in control. Season finale releases today. That should be really fun. I'm Austin Cross. This is Air Talk. We're doing TV Talk. Our wonderful critics are with us. Marcus Jones, award editor for film and TV at IndieWire. Also with us, Catherine Van Arendonk, television critic at Vulture. When we come up, we're going to take a look at the completely made-up adventures of Dick Turpin. A couple other things, too. Stick around.
This is TV Talk from LAist 89.3. We'll be right back after this. Hi, this is Larry Mantle, and you're listening to Air Talk's TV Talk, a weekly review of the newest cable TV, broadcast television, and streaming series. Let's get back to reviews.
I'm Austin Cross, in today for Larry Mantle. With us, Marcus Jones, award editor for television and film at IndieWire. Also, Catherine Van Arendonk, television critic at Vulture. And Catherine, let's talk about the completely made-up adventures of Dick Turpin. That's on Apple TV Plus. What can you tell us about that?
So this is a comedy. It stars Noel Fielding, and he is going to be familiar to people from most likely The Great British Bake Off, where he has been a judge for the last several seasons. But he is also a really well-known comedic figure in the UK. People may know the show The Mighty Boosh, and has a really distinctive, weird British comedy style. Mm. This is a show that's set in the 18th century, and to me, it reminds me a lot of Tristram Shandy, which is an 18th century novel that's very self-aware, and it's clearly playing with a lot of that distinctly picaresque novel kind of structure, where it's a group of people, and particularly one guy, and they're pirates, or they're sort of land pirates, I guess I should say. They go around taking out stagecoaches. But it has that strange self-aware thing happening. And it also, I think, is a really good suggestion for anybody who loved and now misses the show Our Flag Means Death on Max, because it has that sort of found family, quirky, British, self-aware, strange thing. And the idea of outsiders sort of looking at themselves against more of a mainstream society. And the minor characters, I think, are arguably even better than the central figures. So that's a strong recommendation for anybody who loves British TV.
It's called The Completely Made-Up Adventures of Dick Turpin. The first two episodes premiered last week. Episode 3 releases tomorrow. And a note, people might actually recognize the star character, Noel Fielding, as the host of the popular, very popular baking show competition, The Great British Baking Show. Catherine, really quickly, everybody's talking about Shogun, but I just kind of want to hear your thoughts on that right now. It's a strange time when I've seen so many different people from different parts of my life mention one thing.
Yeah, you know, it is strange. It is a phenomenon that I think is a lot more rare than it used to be.
Right.
And it's almost worth, like, you should try out Shogun for that, if nothing else, because we have so few moments of TV monoculture anymore. And, like, it's so fun to have a text that we can all point to and be like, yes, that is exciting. That is the thing we're all watching. And I do think Shogun is worth that attention. It is a really exquisite production. It is this adaptation of an early miniseries from the big heyday of miniseries in the 70s and 80s. And the current adaptation spends a lot more time with the Japanese characters, which gives it much more of a Game of Thrones palace intrigue approach than the earlier versions did. And again, like, so much of it is about how absolutely exquisite this production is. It is just beautiful to watch. I will say it is also very, very violent. So that is something that people are going to have to judge their own willingness to view. Right. But I think it is worth trying at the very least. And the performances are fantastic.
We were talking about Shogun. Their first three episodes are available now. There will be 10 episodes total. And for the record, I miss TV monoculture, like Lost. Like
Me
those
too.
Days back in the day when we could bond with people over one show, just one show. Really quickly, before we wrap, the 96th Oscars are this weekend. Viewership expectations. Kind of curious about the Marcus. What are you thinking ahead of the Oscars?
Yeah, so I cover Emmys as well, so I have my eye on Shogun, but for an awards editor, the Oscars is my Super Bowl. So even though it's seeming like a lot of the wins are going to be kind of expected, I'm really excited for the show, because one of the things that they're bringing back, which worked so well in 2009, was they introduced, or the presenters of the acting awards were five past winners. And so they've been sending release after release with all these names of former Oscar winners who are all coming to the show to hand out awards to all these great nominees we got this year.
I mean, it sounds like it's going to be an exciting show. For the folks who can't actually watch it live, does that stream on the ABC app afterwards, or how do folks catch it? Because I know for me, I'm a cord cutter sort of person, so I'm just thinking right now, how would I even watch this?
I believe so. I mean, it's a big production, and it's sort of helmed by Disney ABC, and so I'm sure it'll pop up online, Disney Plus, et cetera. I think one of the coolest things I saw on the Academy's Instagram is that there's going to be a feed that has an ASL interpreter.
Oh,
and so she was showing some of the nominees how to sign the title of their film. It was really cool.
Well, as a reminder for folks, if you missed Film Week's live annual Oscar preview show this last Sunday, that's okay. We taped it. Larry Mantle, all the Film Week critics, they previewed all the major categories. You're going to hear some squabbles, some disagreements. It's so much fun. We're going to actually bring that to you tomorrow on Film Week at 10, or for Film Week at 10. And of course, you can find it on the Film Week podcast as well. My thanks to critics Catherine Van Arendonk of Vulture and Marcus Jones of IndieWire. They join us quite often here on TV Talk.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Air Talk's TV Talk from LAist 89.3. If you like what you heard, please subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.